Amen.
Flow in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to just, first of all, give thanks to God for you. I am not an easy preacher because I don't play with the word of the Lord. I speak straight, you know, and what the Lord tells me is what I say. And I see things change when I start saying stuff. I have noticed since I started talking about the generosity that needs to develop in Australia, from that meeting we had that day, the church I went to on Sunday morning, there's just been a shift from the first time I've been here. And, you know, sometimes people don't do stuff because they are not taught and because nobody talks about it. So I believe that what God wants to do with Australia in the world can only be done when the spirit of generosity is activated. I mean, I'm not saying this because I want money. I can preach everywhere else. I go around the world. But when God wants to use a people, what he does with them is test their generosity. Can never be done without generosity. And so what I've noticed, one of the things I also have noticed about Australians since I've been here is that there is a teachable spirit that is here. The issue is that foundations have not been laid. You know, when foundations are laid, there's something about this nation. I keep saying it, and about God's purpose for this nation that it's not yet really come to the fore, but it is such a huge thing that God wants to do. But the foundations must be fixed. The foundations must be set. God's going to use this nation to shake the world. You know, I mean, there's no doubt about it. So there are several things that has to happen. You know, and people can get offended if they want to, but I'm going to say it. One of it is the thing I've talked about, generosity. The other one is education. Australians cannot put money above education if they are going to minister around the world. You can't do that anymore. This nation needs education. You can't reward people who are uneducated for being foolish. You got to start rewarding your children so your children will want to be educated. The reason this is important is when I say this, people think, but Jesus and his disciples were not educated. And I just laugh. That's such a stupid statement. Okay? Because Jesus was a rabbi. And you can't be a rabbi in Israel without having spent many, many years in school. And rabbis actually begin at the age of 30. That means the rest of the for that 30 years, since they were about 12 years old, if you're going to be a rabbi, you get chosen when you were a child anyway. And to say that the apostles did not go to school is a lie. Because it was against the law in Israel for a child not to go to school. In fact, the law says that if a child is not going to school, the parents will be brought out in public and whipped. Not the child. So what we keep misunderstanding is that the apostles were not lawyers. That is, they did not have doctorates, but they went to school. They could read the text. It was required. Every one of them had what we call bar mitzvah, where they become a son of the law. Otherwise, they wouldn't even let them read in the synagogue. So we need to change our whole perspective of what we think the apostles were. And I want to tell you something else. Your children are so brilliant. I mean, I go to Bob's house, and when we start talking, his daughter just flows in intellectual knowledge. If I was in this country and I was close to, when I was in Australia, I will encourage, what's her name again? Tanya, to go to university. She's not the only one. Encourage your children to go to school. The reason you have to do it is because this is an information age. You can't really, really minister at the level that God is taking the world if you are down here. You could do miracles, but miracles not enough. The Bible does not say my people perish for lack of miracle. It says my people perish for lack of knowledge. So that's the second level where the church in Australia must begin to pray. You must make it something of prayer. Because when people are not educated, no matter how much money they have, it's easy to use them. Do you realize how much of your children are converting to Islam and Buddhism? Excuse me? This is a Christian nation. And you have a generation that doesn't even know about the Christian faith. And the reason is because they don't read. I'm sorry, guys. But if you want somebody to just tickle your ears, I'm not the right one. Because I believe that this nation has a destiny in from heaven. Encourage. Make it a point of prayer. Make it a point of intercession. Make it a point of intercession for the next generation to be educated. We need Australians in this gospel. The church needs you. That's the second level. The third level is you've got to learn how to structure stuff. Structure does not mean lack of the Holy Spirit, guys. Because if you do your business without structure, you're going to fail.
No.
No? No? Yes. Okay. But if you do your business without structure, you're going to have a problem. Why is it that you think that the kingdom of God has to be that most of us think the kingdom of God has to be without structure? Can't work. Even in the scripture, there is something I call patterns and paradigms and processes. We talk about the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles. Right? But I want to show you something. They had to wait for 120 days in the upper room. Why 120 days? Because it is God's pattern. 120 is the end of all flesh. You want to change something in your body or in your life, do it 120 times and you begin to experience a change because desires get transformed in a 120th level. Are you getting my point? Then when the Spirit came, yes, true, they were all speaking and preaching. But when it came time to minister, they picked one person to speak. Everybody wasn't shouting and screaming. Peter rose up. Guys, God wants to use us, but it must be patterned after his kingdom. A preacher in the U.S. now talking about democracy is God's pattern of government. So I said, okay. Let's all go to heaven and vote Jesus out. Because that's what we want to do. Let's get to heaven and vote Jesus out. Oh yes, it was tried once and they got kicked out. You know, we don't understand kingdom. We need to really come to terms with kingdom patterns. Australia stands a good chance of understanding kingdom because it still recognizes the Queen of England. But it's amazing that you guys who have this pattern don't want to walk in the pattern. It is a kingdom pattern. It's a gift that God has given to your nation. You should spend time studying how it works. Because that's how the kingdom of God works. A kingdom of God is not a democracy. Sorry. It's a kingdom. That's right. It's a king's domain. And those who have captured that stuff have no problem obeying and following God. You want to create your own system? You can create it, but don't say it's God's system. And by the way, we got democracy from the Greeks. We didn't get it from the Bible. It's a good system to keep human beings from oppressing one another. But it's not a good system for the kingdom of God. And by the way, I want to show you something. Just simple so you know. Because part of going to school is going to learn patterns and processes. Sitting under somebody for 4 years and having the person tell you whether you did something right or not. That's discipline. Especially when you are an adult. It's not going to school to grade 12, that's the issue. It's subjecting yourself to another adult like I did after school, as an adult, subjecting myself to other adults for 12 straight years. So let me give you something that you probably don't think about, and most people don't think about. Most nations in Europe, except for France, are kingdoms. Germany is not a kingdom, but they still operate like one. Norway is a kingdom. Never had an economic problem. Sweden is a kingdom. England is a kingdom. Denmark is a kingdom. Italy, Spain, are you ready for this? They are kingdoms. We who are out of Europe always presume that these nations are pure democratic nations, but it's not. There is a reason for it. And when I talk about the great revival that is coming, I always say, and this is what God has revealed to me, that we should not write off the United Kingdom. And we shouldn't write off this kingdom because they are still the ones that God will use to do great and awesome things in the world. Because they, as weak as they are, as terrible as they may seem, they still have the pattern of God. So the church must come into the pattern of the kingdom in order to be used. You may not be in a kingdom, but you have to have a kingdom mindset. Because Jesus Christ is king. He's not your friend in the sense in which you think he is. He's a king. He's Lord. I've made it a habit not just to say Jesus Christ, to always say Lord Jesus Christ, to acknowledge who he is to me, his lordship every time I speak about him. And the reason I do that is to remind myself that I am under a kingdom, that I am not just independent. I don't walk on my own way. When you get this, things start falling into place. But when you decide that you want to do your own stuff, you're always going to struggle because the king is not going to vacate his throne for you. The great pattern we have is the devil is Satan. When Satan decided he wanted to dethrone God, you always lose when you fight against the king. You lose your head. Even if you're a son or a daughter, you could lose your head. I mean, we have stories of the kings of England who actually killed their own children. All right, let's get back to this. So three things that needs to happen. And then I'll tell you, when these three things begin to happen, number one is the spirit of generosity. Number two is knowledge. Knowledge. Number three is what? Structure. Kingdom mindset. Structure. Kingdom mindset. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to begin to see this move in Australia in the next 7 years. You're going to see a shift both in your government. You're going to see more Christians screaming and shouting at the top of their lungs in this nation. Something is happening. You're going to see a greater generosity. You're going to see people talking about missionaries more. Even your own soul will begin to be stirred. Because you have to ask yourself, how come many young people are not going into ministry in Australia? God's going to start changing that. It's going to be a rising of ministerial movement, boys and girls, young men and women in the nation. And you're going to see a greater care of what Christians say about each other. That is, there's going to be much more grace arising within the body. And God's be calling people, you ready for this? To stay where they don't want to stay. Sorry. Stay where they don't want to stay. You gotta understand that. And when I'm listening to this, the Lord gave me an illustration. I'm in a Methodist church, for God's sake. Doing in a Methodist church. They don't get it. People don't get it. Because when God wants to do a great thing, he plants his people in places that they don't want to be because he wants to do something there. Stop running around. I know it's a word from the Lord. There's a great movement about to take place in this nation. Do you know why God's bringing the world to your door? Do you even know why everybody in the world is coming to your place? You think it's because of your money? It's because you won't go. When was the last time Australians sent missionaries outside of their shores? Actually, how many churches do so? God's going to have his way. He's going to make you minister to the people he wants you to minister, whether you like it or not. This is just the way God is. If you don't go, he'll bring them to your door. But I am so excited about this nation, and I'm so excited about what God wants to do with this nation. So if you hear me being harsh sometimes, it's because I have seen something. I've seen stuff. When I first came in here, I had this great vision. If you were in my meetings, the last time when I came, you would have heard the vision that I had of the sweeping move of the Holy Spirit in this area. You know, when God brought me to Australia first, he took me from Cape Town to Australia and didn't allow me to preach. And I prayed and I prayed, and God, when I was leaving, God said some things to me. Because it's easy to be preaching and forget a lot of stuff. God spoke to me and told me I was coming back when the time was right. And I'm glad to be here. You're going to begin to see Aborigines, the so-called Aborigines, come to the Lord in a powerful way. And there's going to be a change. God is going to do a physical work. That's what I'm hearing. God's going to do a physical work on the Aborigines. It's going to be a rise of there's going to be a move of rainbows. That is, at one time, there's going to be 3 or 4 rainbows appearing, but it's not going to be the way it's been for the Aborigines. It's going to be the rainbow of Christ, the rainbow of the train of God being seen around the world, being seen around the nation, excuse me. There's going to be a rising of rainbows where you see not just 2, but 3 in a row. That's never happened. Some things will happen in this nation that will shake the foundation of this nation. There's going to be a breaking of the spirit of Masonicism in the land. Which is the spirit of vagabondism that has been put upon the children and the descendants of the Masons, so that they are unable to stay in one place. There's a spirit of vagabondism that's taking over the church in Australia, where those who have become children of God do not have the capacity to stay in one place. There's going to be a planting. The spirit of suicide is going to be broken. And when I speak of suicide, I'm not just talking about physical suicide. I'm talking about spiritual suicide, where churches keep starting and dying. God's going to break that within the next 3 years. There's going to be a breaking forth of fellowships that are going to explode. God's going to bring forth the stones, and no longer shall Christians in Australia begin to sit in judgment over one another, but they shall bring forth the stones, as it is written in the book of Zechariah, crying, grace, grace unto it. And God will begin to move in the land in such a powerful way that so many who have stopped fellowshipping will now be drawn back into the fellowship of the Lord. There's going to be a stream running through the land from the north to the south. There's going to be a stream running from the east to the west. And it's going to form a cross, and a fire shall be in the center. God's going to begin to release men in white linen across the land, and people will begin to have visions and encounters. Across the nation. The Lord will move upon this nation in such a powerful way that several people in parliament who are working in the background to thwart the movement of God's spirit will be removed openly. It's already begun. Don't get caught up in your own ideology. Because God's going to raise somebody that you do not believe will make a difference, but just for the purpose of shaking up the nation. Back off. Let God do what God wants to do. Think kingdom, not ideology. Think kingdom, not party. Thus says the Lord, I have appointed this nation for a flag bearer of my good news. And I will raise a standard upon this nation, and I will cause my glory to flow upon this nation. And your children, little children, will begin to prophesy. And I will give sight to the blind. And I will break down the mountains and open forth pathways. And many that shall be who shall come in, who have known nothing about my name. For I, the Lord, will open a gateway, a floodway. That I might raise souls from the ends of the earth, cause them to stand, that I might cause them to run with my word. Behold, I am he who before the foundation of the world has placed gold in this land, and behold, I call forth my gold to come forth. My glory shall be seen. Well, I say to the church again, behold, I have not called you to destroy one another. I have not called you to burden one another. But I have called you to carry my love, to carry my good news, to carry my deliverance. To straighten the legs that are lame, to lift up the limp hands, to support the halting. For I, the Lord, will do a new thing upon the land. Even now, I begin, says the Lord. Well, you heard me teach. I talked about the difference between the first Saturday, expectational prophecy and actual prophecy. We have to make that distinction. I don't prophesy to individuals. I prophesy to nations and environments. I don't prophesy unless the Lord moves me. I don't take this thing I do for granted. I've been doing it since I was 12 years old. So I never said the Lord said unless the Lord has spoken to me. If I stand in front of you and I say something, I never plan to say it. Come in here saying, I do plan to teach. But when I say certain things, God allows me to say them. He's my witness. In South Africa, people love me. I've prophesied over that nation. Prophesied over nations. And I believe that God is bringing me to Australia to prophesy over this nation as his servant. Now he tells me, you have to get rid of the spirit of offense. The seven spirits of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I want to deal a little bit today with the spirit of wisdom. When we deal with spirit, we know God is pure spirit. There's no doubt about it. We know that God is pure spirit. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 4, God is spirit, all right? And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, no being can relate to God which is not spirit, who is not spirit, really, indeed. That's why the Bible says, he maketh his angels spirit and his messengers flames of what? Fire. This is where the angels are distinct from demons, is that the angels our spirit. If you want to know what I'm talking about, get the message I preached on Sunday morning at Pastor Ricky's church. Because I talked about the difference between spirit and matter. God is pure spirit. So in other words, God